Welcome to the Connectable Podcast.
Creating connection through relatable conversation.
The Connectable Podcast starts in 3, 2, 1.
There we go.
Hi, Josh.
Good job.
She's all kinds of special.
Here we go. I think it's recording. It is. It says recording.
Right there.
Well, here we are without Josh. Hello, everybody. So this is Deb, and I have my two very good friends on this episode today. We have back in rare form, Nicole Scott. She was on here a few episodes ago. And then we also have, I know I'm turning the camera. This is not going to be on YouTube, or maybe it will be. I don't know. It's not.
Well,
this is.
I look lovely.
So there's three of us. You're going to hear three female voices today. This is also, we have Jamie Child is on.
Hello.
Our, she's a newbie. We are going to, she is a podcast virgin. So we're going to get her going on this.
To talking, not to listening.
We want to just, whoever's listening at home, no matter what time of day it is, if you are wine drinkers, we are going to clink to you. So cheers.
Cheers.
This is a girls' night. So you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Yes. Okay. So hello, everybody. All right. Hello. Here we are. Okay. So what we're going to talk about tonight is the three of us are single. We are also divorcees.
Yes. What?
So we basically, we're basically going to talk about just our different weddings, and we've all come from different backgrounds, and especially Jamie has an interesting story about her background. So we're going to ask her some questions and let her shed some light.
Give it up for the divorcees.
That's about it. This is going to be fun. So Nicole, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm great.
I know. I'm so excited to be back. Josh, again, explicit, you know, my mouth. It doesn't have a filter. I try.
Oh, he knows.
I'm going to seem mild compared to Nicole. It's great. Usually I'm the unfiltered one.
Now, okay. So Jamie, you're a teacher as well.
Just like I me. Am.
Yes.
I am a teacher.
Obviously well. I know this, but this is, I mean, for our audience. So, okay. We all know about Nicole. If you've listened to our last episode, I'm not sure exactly when in time when it's aired as of right now, when we're recording it, it is what's today, December
20th.
Okay. It's December 20th. I don't know when Josh is going to air this. And I say that because Josh does all of that. I just hit record and talk. So when Josh airs this, I'm not sure when in time we'll be, but we know about Nicole. So, Jamers, tell us just a little bit about, your background and just, what you do and why you decided to become a teacher, just to start.
Okay.
Since you're a new guest.
I was born and raised in Spanish Fork, Utah.
Is that how they said it? Was that
Spanish? No, Spanish Fork. Actually, the rural areas around us made fun of us because they
really?
Thought we were more rural. Okay. So Spanish Fork is like how people would make fun of you and tell you
more rural in Utah, the whole freaking state.
Yeah. Well, really, though.
Seriously?
Spanish Fork, where I grew up, was suburbia. I was not a farm girl.
Where did I go in Utah, where did we go?
You were north, weren't you in like Ogden?
We went to Ogden, then we went to
Southern Utah. Yeah, I live in the middle of those two places.
I went through you.
You went through me.
I went through you.
Just like this one.
Remember when we, because we did it wrong and we went through the whole
state. You didn't fly into Vegas.
Shut up.
I listened to that on your episode.
I'm super smart.
It's okay. You didn't know me yet. I would have set you straight, but you're good.
Where did we go through it though? Where?
You would have gone through it when you were on I-15 going southbound. So about an hour south of Salt Lake City
is where I'm
from.
It's beautiful.
It's Utah County. It really is a beautiful place to grow up. It's sometimes called Happy Valley. It's surrounded by mountains, snow capped most of the year. Except for in the summertime, and the mountains change color all year long. It's a really beautiful place to grow up. Very sheltered, protected. And obviously like the Mormon culture is very prominent there. And I was born and raised Mormon.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into that later.
Later. Yeah. That's part of my
details.
Part of my identity.
Yes.
But I'm obviously drinking wine now. So, you know,
that's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, and what did you have for breakfast? El Ducho.
Oh yeah. I did. I stopped El Ducho. I stopped stop at Dutch Bros like a lot for breakfast. Coffee, because I didn't grow up drinking coffee.
They can't have caffeine or.
Yeah, I didn't drink coffee until I was like 27.
Shit.
No, 27-ish is when I really got into alcohol and coffee.
We used to skip school to go to La Boob down the street so that we can get a iced mocha.
It was a thing. Isn't it in, or at least when you were in high school, when we were in high school, back then the equivalent to like having alcohol, I guess here in California or any other state, is the equivalent of like having caffeine.
Yes.
In your state. Like yes. It's a big deal.
Yeah. In fact, yeah. It's even so kind of a big deal. My niece, like, she came out of the church much earlier than I did while she was still in high school, and her friends found out she was drinking coffee, and she got like shamed for it by her friends. So it's still a thing, man. It's okay though.
And how long ago was that?
She's 20 now.
Oh, so almost, this is
she's 19.
Reason.
So, this is so just a couple years ago.
Actively going.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, it's just part of the culture, like naivety, right? What you don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Mormons, though, by and large, good people, mm-hmm. care a lot about people, mm-hmm. great family values, like a lot of things about my upbringing and background, I really love about who I am, but there are certain parts that I'm just really grateful to be rid of. So I definitely, Mormonism definitely is part of my background, but I grew up in a mixed faith marriage. So I always kind of had two perspectives.
Wait. Mixed faith.
My mom was always fully Mormon. My dad came out of the church.
That's right.
When I was a kid, when I was really young.
Okay. I thought you meant your relationship with your husband. Because you guys were, ex-husband, I'm sorry. You guys were both.
We were both Mormon.
Active
Mormon. Active
Mormon. But you're talking about your parents.
But I'm talking about my parents. Okay. So yeah, I said mixed faith marriage. I meant like upbringing. My parents had mixed faith family.
Okay.
I guess.
Okay. So that's not her peeing. That's her pouring more wine.
More
Could
wine.
Could you have done you that guys. More loud?
I did it on purpose.
Another pour. You asked about me being a teacher though. Did you have more questions about?
No, I have lots, but keep going. Go back.
So I'm trying to do like nutshell. So I always loved school. I'm somebody who like is very curious by nature and I've always craved learning. And like anytime in Mormonism or Mormonville, where it's not very diverse, anytime there would be someone of a different culture, I would want to befriend them in school and like try to learn as much about their background. Like,
okay.
I had a friend, Nico, in middle school, and he was Argentinian. And I remember he brought me like dulce de leche, and then I went on this kick where I was obsessed with dulce de leche.
It's caramel.
Caramel. But caramel it was
with a cool
like
name.
It was caramel with a cool name. But I was obsessed with it. And they would put it on bread. So I'd just be like, I want it on bread. And then I saw dulce de leche ice cream at the grocery store. And I like lost my mind.
Holy mother, have you had the cappuccino or the dulce de leche? What is it called? At Starbucks?
Ooh. No, but that sounds lovely.
Yeah.
It's not a cappuccino. What's the other one?
No, it's just the frappuccino.
Whatever. They have all kinds of stuff there. You need to try it. There's is actually pretty good.
I'm sure you have.
Well, I kind of stick to my white milk.
Yeah.
But
that's so the sugar. Again, the sugar.
The most sugary drink you can get. And I'm good. That's another thing about my upbringing is because we don't do alcohol and we don't do caffeine. We do sugar.
Sugar is like the bad boy of Utah.
Is that?
They have soda shops everywhere. That's like, there's like five different ones now.
But there's caffeine. They're all
it doesn't count.
Talk about
shut up.
No,
shut up.
Doesn't count.
So coffee. Hot, how about tea?
Hot coffee hot caffeine is no good. But if it's in a soda, I grew up drinking soda.
Are you kidding? Uh-uh. That's cheating.
I know, but we did. The word of wisdom made no sense. You can ask Joseph Smith about it if you ever meet him when you die. Why it was, but if you really study it, like on it doesn't make sense on a health code. So
delicious.
So delicious. Fizz, sipping. Gosh, what are the other soda shops? But they all sell cookies and soda with different like flavorings. Anyway, I'm taking too much time on that.
Good. You're good.
And so how I became teacher, loved learning. So I always kind of wanted to be a teacher, danced my whole life from the time I was two. My grandma owned a dance studio. So I grew up dancing with her. When she retired, I went to other studios in my community. In high school, I danced on the drill team and on the dance company. I loved history. So I thought I'll be a history teacher and I'll coach dance one day. And so
That you is have what helped I did. Us in our trivia on the history aspect.
Thanks for acknowledging that.
She just, I was waiting for
that's them. Recorded. She just acknowledged that sometimes I help on history questions.
Sometimes she fights with everybody else on who is right of her history.
Sometimes I'm right when I sometimes fight. You're sometimes right. I let other people answer and like, then they're wrong. It.
And Ken is
Hispaniola. I knew it was Hispaniola. And you said Espana.
What Jamie and Nicole are talking about are when we go to our local brewery at Logoff,
our local watering hole,
we have trivia night, and I'm not helpful unless it's the office category. So that mainly falls on Jamie because every other question is history or geography related. So
we're and just, I'm just anyway. Notorious for just yelling, huh? Because I can't, I don't know anything. And I just,
she knows love... stuff from like the 1950s.
Ah, shut your face.
Rude. I'm just kidding. It's more like 80s rock questions.
Yeah. Sugar. Okay. We do have a little bit of an age gap, but it's not that bad. Oh, yeah, we have. Because yeah. you're, how old are you?
I'm 34.
30? You're 30? 30,
I'm 34. 30. I'm a month younger than
so
you.
So we're the
same. Well, yeah, count.
We really like we I'm really just... like to give her crap about being old. But no, Nicole, you're not that much older than
She's
us.
She's the same age as us, I thought.
Yeah.
I had just come out.
You could be you could be my my oldest sister.
I could because you are Mormon and you have multiple freaking siblings.
I'm the baby of the family.
But how many?
Yeah, tell us about your siblings.
I have three older sisters.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
For a Mormon family.
But how many small? Wait. Hang on. But how many nieces and nephews do you have?
12.
There you go. 12. Yes.
Wow. They're lovely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big family.
And then you finished your education very fast.
Yeah. I knew what I've always been very driven. I knew what I wanted to do. So I went to school and I went summers and stuff to get my degree and my teaching credential. Mm-hmm. And I started teaching at the age of 22. So my first year teaching, I was 22 years old.
So you finished really fast.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think I finished my credential until, and I like took a year off school and I went back really slow. And in between all that, I got married, which we'll get into, but I don't think I got my credential until I was like 26.
Wow.
Yeah. I only finished I finished my freshman year of college before I got married. And then I was married for the rest of my
life. Wait. So,
at 22.
This is Nicole talking.
You got married at 22?
I got married at 19.
I got married at 19 too.
I got married at 22. Okay. We're going to talk about all that.
Well, dude, at 22, I owned a house, got married, had a kid.
Yikes.
That's a lot. I bought my first house at 21. Two years after I got married.
Yeah.
Okay.
I bought my house at, it might have been 20. I was pregnant with Jessica when we moved in, and I was 20 and then 21 when I had her. So yeah, I was 20 when I bought my house, 21 when I had her, 23 when I had Jacob and I started my own business, and I was divorced at 23 and a half.
Wow.
I stayed in it a bit longer than that.
Yeah. Okay, so I was already in it 7 years though. Because we got divorced. I'm lying. I got married. I got divorced when we were 25. Jake was two. I'm lying.
Okay.
So yeah.
Wow.
Because it was
and then
fine. Good times.
Yeah. And then what was your timeline, Jamie, about like your marriage and then divorce, like age wise?
So I got married at 19.
When you knew everything.
When I knew everything.
Everything.
Honestly, I'm gonna be super honest.
No, serious, yeah.
So I was a very good Mormon girl and I was not going to have sex before marriage. So a big part of why I got married is because I was ready. I was ready to like
experiment,
yeah, move forward with, and then, so I went ahead and got married and so that I could do what I wanted to do.
And it was so worth it.
And it was not. The sex was all. Well, anyway, yeah, I'm not going to go into that on a podcast, but
that's another.
I was very young. I was very young and very Mormon and very innocent. Didn't know things. Gosh, but I sure made some good decisions, didn't I?
When
I married mine and didn't do any of that and still screwed it up and it wasn't worth it. I was like,
I'm on the same aspect of Jamie because same thing. I grew up in a, I grew up, I just almost knocked her wine glass out of her hand because I talk with my hands. I grew up in a Christian household. So same thing. I got married at, I had just turned 22 and same,
y'all didn't mess around before then?
No. So same thing. Yeah. So, and yeah, it's not as crap. Good. It wasn't as
You want God to be happy.
I wanted God. I went and got married in a church and did a whole Catholic ceremony, but God must have been pointing his finger at me going,
I think
you're not worthy.
There's more to it than that. I think we've discovered. But yeah. Well, there were more reasons why I got married, but my young 18-year-old brain was ready to explore that part of life.
Yeah. Well, and you just, and seriously, if you look at 18, they think they're ready for everything.
Well, and I wanted, I also, like I said, I was ambitious and driven and I was ready to like get started with my life. Yeah. I knew what I wanted. It was like, I was going to, I had a plan, a whole plan for my whole life. I was going to get my degree and then I was going to start teaching, married, degree, start teaching, and then start having babies.
So, yeah.
Like that was the plan. And it went according to plan until 24. And at age 24, well, it didn't really, things changed a little bit. And what do you know, again, at 30.
It's all good. Hey, same. Happens. I mean, at 19, I was getting married and half my family, my mom's whole side, none of them came to my wedding. None of them, because they hated him so much. They didn't even come to watch me get married.
That's
so big, huge Catholic wedding in a church, freaking nightmare. Got married. Was with
you
him.
Had the white gown and everything.
Oh, we did the whole,
did you have the veil over your
face? Not over my face.
Okay.
Behind me. But we did the sit, kneel, stand, pray, sit, kneel, stand.
Oh, yeah. You think communion, sit, kneel, stand,
pray. Dude, I was like, this freaking, it was, went on forever.
Okay, so
finally,
yours was
no,
like
hold
Catholic
on.
Ceremony?
Yes,
okay,
I
now
had
tell
to
me
tell the
it.
Priest, are you almost done? Cause I'm a fucking pass out. I need to eat something. Like now I this is going on for way too long. You said it was going to be like 30 minutes. We're in like an hour and a half, dude. We gotta end this because I can't do this anymore. It was bad. It went on forever.
I've been to a Catholic wedding
before. It was awful. Yeah. Awful.
It was interesting.
Sit, kneel, stand, pray. Sit, kneel, stand, pray. Yeah. Now, mind you, I am Catholic. I wear my little cross because Jesus tries to help me all the time. I love Jesus. He just looks at me and shakes his head. But
why do you think I have a sign up there that says all I need today is a little bit of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus?
Yes. We need lots of Jesus.
Keep going with your Jesus. I condone it.
I know we condone love Jesus. I still go to church with Granny and we sit kneel stand and I love her because she's 86 years old and I take her to church and we laugh and chat and get in trouble. It's her fault. She raised me to be this and she is 86 years old and still this.
You don't think some of that is just like in you?
No, it's her fault. It's her fault, Granny. Oh yeah. And I have to off camera. I'll tell you what I'm going to do with Granny at Christmas. You guys are going to laugh, but I can't say it on here.
Okay. I can't wait.
Josh will kill me here.
Oh, if you hang on our listeners, if you haven't noticed, Josh is not here.
Yes. Oh
this
yeah.
This is a girl's episode.
So talk. No, Josh.
He's not here. I don't know if I said that at the beginning.
Okay. Yeah. Think, yeah.
Sorry,
Josh.
You did. But... Okay.
I mean, we just took over.
Some wine,
so.
Cookies.
All right, taking okay. over Connectable.
So that's me. Go.
So, okay. So wedding ceremony.
Yes.
Sit, kneel, stand, pray. Okay.
Yes.
Tell us. The Mormon, I mean, Mormon ceremonies are, so in the Mormon temple ceremonies are very antiquated and they're based a lot on Masonic ritual. Anyone that does a Google search can find out like the similarities, and Joseph Smith, who founded the religion, was a Freemason. So you don't get to wear a traditional wedding dress when you get married in Mormon like tradition. Well, you can wear your dress, but you wear this other stuff over the top of it, and your dress has to be white. If your dress is off-white, it's not, you can't wear it into the temple.
Wow. Now, is that only for weddings or is that across?
That's temple weddings. Mormons can get married, like they can have like a civil ceremony at the church, like you would at a Catholic church.
Okay.
That's like your bishop presides. A bishop would be the same as like a pastor.
Okay.
A bishop could preside, and that's more of a civil type church ceremony. And that's if you're not worthy to go through the temple. So temple ceremonies, you have to be an endowed member of the church. And only
people can go in.
Yeah. Right? Only endowed members of the church. So you make special covenants with God. You go through this whole process that's very similar to Masonic ritual to take out your endowment. I'm not going to go into details of all that ritual. It scared the crap out of me when I was 19 and went through.
Do they teach it all then when you decide to get married? You go through like classes? Like I had to go through Catholic.
So we had temple classes. Prep classes that okay. my ex-husband and I took
okay.
that were put on by a couple in our ward. Your okay. ward is like your congregation.
Okay.
So we had an elder couple in our ward that gave us temple prep classes, but those, they can't tell you anything that happens in the temple because it's sacred.
Oh, Lord.
So,
you're
going in totally blind.
Oh, wow.
So, but they tell you it's going to be the most spiritual experience. They hype it all up. It's this amazing thing. All your family's there. Well, my dad had already left the church by the time I went through. And so
he couldn't even like walk you down the aisle.
No,
because you can't go in there unless you are.
You only endowed members are allowed into the temple. And so for my wedding,
I couldn't.
No, if I went and got married in the temple,
you did temple.
So I did temple. Okay. I got married
because you were in it.
Yeah, because I was in it at that time when I was 19. And my ex-husband's family, they were in it. And I love them all dearly to this day. His family is amazing, phenomenal people. but they're very religious. Well, not very religious. They're like normal Mormons.
But they're still they're, in it right
they're
now.
They're still
in it. Still active Mormons. Okay.
Still in it.
Are you still an active Mormon, your ex?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't. If he is, I doubt he's like very. What's the right word? Like
active, is he
like he's probably he's not super probably rigorous. He's pretty open-minded. He's a very kind person. We were just too young.
I do have to add that every Mormon person that I've met throughout my life have been amazing, kind, very nice people.
I mean,
that's my only experience.
You're brought up to care about people.
Oh,
you really are.
Yeah. They're good humans, but they just have.
It's just structure. Once you get to a certain age, you're a part of an exclusive club and your salvation is dependent upon you doing all of these things to be temple worthy, to be worthy of the celestial kingdom, which is the highest kingdom of heaven. You have to do all of these things or you're not worthy.
Dude, I listen to so many podcasts on Mormons. That shit freaks me out. So, I thought Christianity was crazy. Well, you guys focus way too much on death.
I think a lot of people in Mormonism don't live
in the moment,
in the present moment.
No, well, because you're all worried about dying.
They're like, I'm suffering now because they believe that paradise comes if they suffer through life and do and be the person God wants them to be, then they will go to the celestial kingdom when they die, which is paradise. Okay. You will live like so. It gives them hope for the life struggles, but it makes it really hard to find paradise now in the present moment.
Happiness, just being content in the moment. They're so worried. You can't be happy now because if you die. You got to be ready.
And that stuff is pretty deeply ingrained in you. So like, even to this day, like for me to make shifts in myself, to really live for today and have an abundance mindset and be like focused on where I'm at and what I have to be grateful for in my life right now. And not constantly focused about, am I pleasing everyone? Am I doing what I should do?
So what have I taught you?
Moment to moment.
Thank you. Hang on. I got to preface our listeners. Nicole has been a chariot of wisdom for for myself and Jamie throughout the years. And her motto has always been, because I think at one point I said, I just got to take it one day at a time. And she goes, no. One moment at a time. So I know you have too, Jamie, been living your life moment.
You have to ask Deb, like when we had our initial conversations about that concept, I was very resistant to because I truly believe that like I put so much pressure on myself. I put so much pressure on myself that I should be doing things right now because they will affect my future.
And
granted, I think that the truth lies somewhere in the middle. You shouldn't just screw off and make irresponsible decisions because it makes you happy in the moment. But make responsible choices moment to moment and be present in your life.
Be present in the moment is my big thing.
Yeah, in where you are, what you're doing.
Enjoy love because you get one shot at this. And I learned that from a priest, which I was shocked. He was the coolest priest ever, though. Granny, 86 years old. I was going through all kinds of crap. And she told me I needed, she goes, I've been through counseling. It was awful. It was a really, really, really tough moment in my life. And she said, I want you to talk to my priest. And I looked at her and I said, what? You want me to sit down with a priest? And she's like, mom, she said, Nicole, just go and try it. Just see what happens. He's a really cool guy. He's young. Sit down and talk to him. And I sat down and we talked for over an hour and he was so cool. He even cussed. It was great. We were talking and it was just like a back and forth conversation. And that was the thing he taught me. Cause I was like, I'm just living day by day. And he goes, absolutely not. You live moment to moment. And I was like, oh shit, I can do that. Like I can actually enjoy this moment and go to the next moment. And of course have expectations for the future and drive. And we all do that. Right. We all, as our group of friends, we all know what our future is, but right now enjoy what you have.
And there's even so much value in that concept when it comes to like when a rough moment comes up.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, let me just get through this moment. And then it will pass and I'll be on the next one.
And then I'm going to be okay. It's not going to consume me and create my whole life. Yeah. It's just right now. And I can get over it and move on.
I don't know if Nicole, if you said this to me or someone else, I mean, it probably was you, but you said like, if I'm feeling a certain way, like, I don't know, let's just say an adjective, bad or horrible. Yeah. You get Was that Jessica?
That was
You get five minutes. I give myself, it depends on the severity of it, but 5 minutes and that's it. You're done.
I was that's when I was dating Montana.
And I can't with that. If I put a time limit on it, stays bad longer.
She told me because I was dating Montana and it all ended bad. And she looked at me and she said, You have 2 days. Cry, get that shit out of your soul and you're done. And we're moving on. You get 2 days. And I was like, dude, you're done. Like you were not with him long enough to give him. He does not deserve any more time than that. You give it that much time and you're done.
I honestly have to tell myself that too. Now, again, depending on what it is, you have to vary it, but I have to tell myself that because otherwise it carries on with me and I dwell. So I have to
get it over your soul.
And it goes back to the concept of moment by moment. Like, and if it comes up again, okay, give yourself another short time limit on it and get then over move forward it. Because then it just consumes you.
Oh,
and God. I can't do that.
Stupid boys.
We have code names for
Montana's not his name. Everybody has a code name. It's all okay. Good.
So Jamie, what was that like getting married in the temple when you were a Mormon back then? Like how was that process? And I guess and we can get into it however.
How does
can.
It start? Because you said you have to take like classes and so, you have to have so
we So we took temple prep classes and then you have to go through the temple and take out your endowment, which is like, it's a Masonic ritual basically. So you go through and you wear the regalia and you go through the ceremony. And I did that a couple days before I got married. Freaked me out a little bit. Honestly, it's very cultish. And I remember the biggest thing that really got me about it was, it felt as though I was supposed to be submissive to God and the God
instead of embracing
and the God that I had created a relationship with in my personal experience, the God that I knew wouldn't tell me to bow my head and say yes. So I'll tell you that part about the ceremony. As you were making these agreements, it was bow your head and say yes. And you'd have to bow your head and say yes. And I remember thinking in that moment, like my God that I have a relationship would want me to look up
and pray and would want me to say yes. I want to be a part of it. Yes.
Like I want. And so
voluntarily.
Yes. So I remember being very like uncomfortable with the submission. Granted, I have always had issues
with
submission.
We don't do well.
Like, don't
with a bubble.
Don't tell me what to do. Then tell me what to say.
Yes.
Like, bow your head and say yes. Bullshit. No.
I apologize. We have one Scorpio and two Sagittarius on this podcast right now.
A little fiery up in here. But that just, that moment, I was really uncomfortable with that. I was like, this is not what I thought. Cause I was expecting to go in and feel like
uplifted like, wow,
and connected to God. And instead I felt like God was pushing me down, like putting me under his thumb and being like,
you will this, be like,
it's like, this it was, is what it was yeah. unnatural.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Unnatural. And it wasn't the relationship I built with my God, my personal experience, my personal spirituality.
Okay. Okay.
So but I'd already set the temple date. I'd already, so, and granted my dad had come out of the church. I mentioned that earlier.
Yes.
About a couple weeks to a month before I got married. I don't remember the exact timeline.
He
took me on a hike. He said, will you come on a hike with me? And we hiked up a little mountain at sunset with the goats. He had goats at that time. And what? I know I said I'm not a country girl, but the goats
he brought the goats along on our trip. The goats, that's very biblical.
The goats are memorable. No, the goats are memorable because there was this white goat that carried our stuff. And the damn thing kept trying to push me off the trail because it wanted to lead. My dad was like, no, you got to stay in front of it. Show us who's boss or whatever. So like I was trying to assert my dominance over that goat. The whole, so obviously I have a problem with submission. That goat was not going to pass me. That was a side note on this story. Apologize. So anyways, I'm trying to tell a great story and I'm talking about goats.
Good.
Anyway,
but I didn't know that part.
I know. I've never told you this. What? Anyway. Okay. No. So we get to the top of the mountain. It's sunset. And my dad said, you're going to feel God every bit as much up here as you will in the temple. Ooh. Are you sure you want to get married in the temple?
Wow. And that, okay, wow. Hang on. At this, just for our listeners, at this point, your dad has already left
the Mormon religion. My dad has left the Mormon religion.
Okay.
And neither of my parents were going to be at my wedding because my mom, even though she hadn't like pulled away from the church, she hadn't been doing A, B, and C to keep her temple recommend current.
Wow. Oh, God. So you had to do tasks.
Basically. Yeah, and pay your tithing.
Okay. Of course.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So,
yeah, jobs and dues.
So basically, you have to go to church. You have to keep the Sabbath day holy. You have to do anyway. You have to be able to answer all of these questions in a interview with your bishop to be able to be worthy to go into the temple.
Okay.
My parents hadn't been keeping up on that, and my mom, it was causing my parents a lot of anxiety. And my dad was adamant by the time I got married, because I'm a baby, that he was done. He was no longer doing that. Did he do
it with others? Your other sisters?
He only went through the temple with my oldest two sisters. He did not go through with me or with my sister that's just older than me.
Okay.
So the younger two.
Did you guys all get married in the temple?
Yes, but not initially. So like some of us had like the civil weddings, and then you have to wait a year to be worthy to go through the temple.
Okay, I got you.
You have to wait a year because if you, anyway, it's like a punishment almost if you get married civilly.
So you have to be, you have to be a standard. You have to gain your
worthiness over a year to be able to go through the temple.
Okay.
So I don't know if they still have that rule, but these were the rules when I was an active Mormon 15 years ago. Or something like that. I don't know how long it's been.
Yeah.
So my dad took me on this hike, and I'll never forget that conversation. And I remember having that conversation being like, Dad, I've like the date's already booked. Invites are sent out. Like there's no changing it.
Did you feel, cause I did, cause I wanted to cancel my wedding at the last day because I knew it wasn't right. But I felt like, okay, I can make this work because the date set, the plans are set, the food is bought. Did you feel that pressure of,
yes,
this isn't supposed to happen, but we've already got all this stuff done. So I just have to make it work.
I don't know, you know, hindsight's 2020, but I wonder if my dad would have had that conversation earlier,
like a month earlier, potentially
I might've been more receptive
or something. Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
But I remember it like having a really hard time with the fact that like, that my parents weren't going to be there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
At my wedding, all of my sisters were, three older sisters were there. Okay. And that was important to me, and I remember telling my ex-mother-in-law that I wanted, and my ex-father-in-law, we had a conversation when I was at my, when we were planning the wedding. I remember saying, I really only want it to be immediate family in the temple since my parents can't be there. I would like for it to be smaller. And I remember, his dad saying to me, so you're going to punish our family because your family's not worthy to go.
Yeah.
And I
Ouch.
lost my shit. I started crying and I went downstairs and I said, just because my parents choose to not to go doesn't mean they're not worthy. And I remember having this conversation and having that like, but that's the kind of, so Mormonism claims to be like this inclusive, like we want to bring everyone into the fold type religion and they do missionary work. But that is the perfect example of how it creates division in families.
Oh, yeah.
It creates a lot of division.
Because if you all are not worthy, then you can't stay together.
Right. And even my, like, for the fact that my ex's family was judging my family, and my family is, they're amazing people.
Yeah, yeah.
But just kind of that it created that was such a hard thing. And so I felt this immense amount of pressure to do things the right way. And I love my husband's family so much as I love my own family, mm-hmm. that it was really important to me to do, like, to honor them as well.
So be right for them. Yeah.
And so I had my four sisters at my ceremony, and he had tons and tons and tons of family.
Okay. So when you go into the temple to do a wedding.
Okay. Let me get into the, I'll tell you about like the ceremony itself.
Okay.
So you go in and I chose a white dress on purpose. So I wanted to be able to wear my actual wedding dress in the temple rather than a temple dress is what they call it. And it's just a simple plain white dress, but I picked a white dress so that I could wear it. And then you put an apron over it and you have a weird hat that you wear. And I look like a chef. No, I know. You want to feel beautiful.
I'm so sorry.
You want to feel beautiful on your wedding day.
With all due respect.
You want to feel beautiful on your wedding day. And I felt like a chef. Okay. And when I saw my the hats that my ex-husband had to wear, poor guy, like you kneeled. So Mormon ceremonies.
Sorry, can I pause?
Yes.
Why the hat and the
what apron? Is it? It's part of Masonic ritual. It represents different things.
Okay.
So like the apron.
Where you belong is in the kitchen.
No.
Hell no.
No.
That'll be a whole different podcast.
Hell no. Yeah, no.
I'll go in a different direction.
Okay. So it's been a long time, but I'm pretty sure I remember the apron. I don't remember the hat. Okay. But the apron is green.
Okay.
And it has leaves on it. Oh. A lot of Mormons would probably be really mad at me for sharing this. I think that part of what you wear is part of the sacred. It's not sacred to me anymore. So that's why it's kind of.
Well, it's interesting. I feel like this is just a history lesson because I didn't learn this in school.
Most Mormons, if you're a Mormon and you're not even part of, I mean, granted, they can Google it now. We didn't used to be able to do that.
Right.
But I walk this weird line where I want to be really respectful to people who still believe it.
Right.
But at the same time, I know where I stand on it.
Well, yeah.
So the apron is green and it has like leaves on it. Okay. And it's supposed to represent like, when Adam and Eve were cast out, that they had to wear clothing. Like they no longer remember, or you, did you learn about when they were
Catholic? I'm Catholic. I did go to that class.
Okay. I'm asking if it's the same. Yes. I'm more
that's
asking.
That's like, yes, the same. As soon as, they ate the apple, they had to put clothes
They
on.
Were naked and then they were ashamed of their bodies. They had to wear clothes.
Yes.
Okay. So the apron represents the clothing.
Okay.
So there's all these, I can't remember what that stupid, ugly hat meant, but it looks like a chef hat. And my ex-husband, he's very cute, but he has like a larger head. I just remember he was very tall and skinny. And I just remember.
But he had a really big head.
No, it wasn't that big. I just remember he's a very handsome person. I would not say. Like to this day, he's very cute. Like, but I wouldn't, like, I remember the thing being around his head and like you kneeled it. Like in a Mormon ceremony, you don't like stand with someone in front of you. You kneel across an altar from each other.
Oh, so you're not holding hands next to each other?
No, we're kneeling across an altar, holding hands on the altar. Then there's mirrors behind you on both sides. Because Mormon ceremonies are for time and all eternity. They're not just for
the moment. They're forever.
For life.
Okay.
They're for forever. So they have mirrors behind you. So that hat went on forever. So
I wonder if it's like that today. Like you said, it was like 15 years ago. I wonder if they do the same thing today.
I know certain things are the same because I've researched it a little bit, but they've changed some things about the temple ceremonies. But for the most part, it's pretty much the same as when I went through. And you kneel across the altar and there's a ceremony that you pledge to each other for time and all eternity. And we'd already done the endowment ceremony that freaked me out a week earlier.
Did you do that together or separate?
The endowments?
Yeah.
We did it together.
Okay. Is that
well, normal? Kind of. They have the women on one side of the room and the men on the other side of the room.
But you're doing it. Okay.
But you go through the ceremony together and it's like groups of people. Okay. So you can go back and you can go through. So Mormons do a lot of work for the dead.
See, you guys are all about dead people.
Yes, because they're not saved in this life. If you didn't, so we'll get baptized on your behalf, Nicole, because you didn't get the truth in this life. So after you die, if you want to become a Mormon, you can.
Oh God.
So that's kind of
so many rules.
So I used to get baptized. You do baptisms for the dead when you're a teenager. So I would go to the temple, and that's the only ceremony you can do when you're not an endowed member.
Okay.
You can go through and do baptisms for the dead. So okay. I got baptized for lots of dead people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And all like the past presidents and past prophets and past or all the past presidents of the U.S. have been baptized for the dead.
What?
Because she's a history fucking junkie.
Yeah.
So she has so to I'm say, know. I want to, George Washington, he needs to be baptized.
I didn't do it personally, but yes, Mormons are big on genealogy and making sure everyone's saved.
Okay. Okay.
So,
all right.
So anyway, so my parents weren't there. My sisters were there. It was this weird ceremony. I didn't feel beautiful at all. I remember like,
and these were your, hang on. And these were your true, genuine feelings at the time.
At the time. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So almost immediately after I got married, my husband and I, well, he was a kid. He was 18. He was younger than I was.
Oh, geez.
And so like his parents had to get him to go to church. So as soon as we got married, it was
because
like,
our kids.
As soon as we got married, he wanted to play video games. He finally had freedom. Like he never wanted to go to church. And I was deep in questioning about if like, cause after I went through this, the temple stuff, it triggered some deep stuff inside me that made me very uncomfortable. So and I was going to college and majoring in history at the time.
Oh God.
So I didn't get into BYU. So I went to UVU and all the history professors that can't teach the biased history that BYU teaches. Sorry, BYU. Cause you're going to listen to this. UVU is where I went, Utah Valley University.
And that's just a regular,
as far as Utah goes.
Yeah. Yes. That was a,
so
normal,
I have
a secular, basically.
Gotcha. Yes. Okay. It's a secular university. Okay. So I had professors who were teaching, I took a Utah history class. And I start studying the history of my religion right the semester after I got married. And I'm like, and I had all these questions and stuff feelings building up inside me that were so uncomfortable about the experience. And then like go to this class and I'm reading this shit. And I was like, this doesn't hold up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you took the class, did it make you question what you learned in the actual religion? I mean, were you,
yes.
So you are questioning,
yes.
Holy shit. Cause this is normal outside Mormon people talking about
and
history.
Even,
and then you have in your,
and even like, we're studying like Joseph Smith, we're studying like the founders of the religion and their lives and their experiences and why they fled anyway, all those kind of stories.
Okay.
And I did a deep dive on polygamy. I decided that polygamy.
This is Nicole's favorite topic.
So, a lot of my ancestors, and I'm known for a very long time, I'm the product of polygamy generations back. And so I, for my research paper in that, in my Utah history class, I wrote it on Joseph Smith and polygamy. And so I started reading all of these books. Wow. So when you're Mormon, they tell you, you can't read these books because they're anti-Mormon literature.
Now, wait, the polygamy part was?
So there's Mormonism only wants you to read Mormon produced literature.
But isn't polygamy a part of the Mormon world?
Not anymore.
But it was. So
yeah, it was in originally, but they only want you to read their bias about it. Like they changed it when it was no longer necessary because they started polygamy to grow the religion essentially.
Okay.
To multiply and replenish the earth. And a lot of the women who came a lot of the pioneer women had lost their husbands along the way. So men married multiple women.
Just share. Yeah. Sharing is caring.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God. It is current because what's that show called? Sister Wives?
Yes. So
it is current.
Well,
that is my,
but let's clarify.
Okay.
So that's fundamentalist Mormons. That is not the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which
you were Church.
I was the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which they don't like to be called Mormon
LDS.
Anymore. LDS.
I found out that when Jamie and I were on a vacation years ago, Remember we met that couple? We were at a hotel. Oh, yeah. We went down to the hot tub.
We said Mormon and they said they wanted to be called LDS.
Right. And I looked at her and I'm like, what's LDS? And she's like, Latter-day Saints. I'm like, oh, okay. So they like,
well, because LDS. Mormonism is what everybody outside calls them, but it's disrespectful. So there is technically the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and the fundamentalists are the ones that still practice polygamy. And even Mormons don't affiliate with them. Okay. Today. So Mormons today are not polygamous. LDS people.
Although in my travels.
Yeah, but those were fundamentalists.
But she was in Ogden, Utah.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Back up. Tell our audience what you're talking about.
Okay. So in my travels of my last podcast, we went to Ogden, Utah. And my big thing was when we traveled, we could not go to big name chain places. So we just found this super cute little coffee shop, and we went in, and this little girl had tattoos and blue hair, and she was just like rocking it. And I bought my coffee, and I was like, so I have to ask, because I've never been to Utah. This is our first day, on our way to the game, getting a coffee. And I'm like, so is like polygamy real here? And she goes, yeah, I'm a part of it. And I was like, shut up.
And this was how long ago?
This was 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Okay. And I said, shut up. Oh my God. Teach me your ways. I need to know. Like, what? this is my one thing. I watched Sister Wives and I just really didn't know it was real. And she told me that she was one of like, God knows how many children. She had 4 moms. It was a whole thing. But then she told me, I hate it. I'm getting out. All of my siblings are getting out. We don't want to be a part of it. I want to be a forensic scientist. She had already, now you can explain this to us. She had already submitted to be released. So she had to apply to be released.
Her records removed. I actually haven't done that yet. I'm technically still Mormon.
Oh, wow. They still hunt you down, don't they?
They do. I got a call a few months ago.
Oh, geez. So she submitted to be released because this poor child, she wanted to move to New York to go to school to be a forensic scientist. And I was like, honey, let's start small. Do you understand where you're going? You're going from Ogden, Utah to New York.
Yeah. I'm like, but you know what?
That's a huge culture shock change.
That kind of culture shock's good. That's what happened.
Well, that's big.
Okay, but I had left the church and I had been out of the church for 5 years when I finally moved to Sacramento.
You moved to Sacramento.
Honey,
When you start subbing
at Sac High.
Oh, no. she went from Utah to Sac High. That is a huge.
Subbing at Sac High.
Okay. I will tell you, it is a culturally. Because I went home with her 1 year, many years ago. I went to Utah for the first time ever, and I looked around and I'm like, Jamie, I'm like, these people, why are there so many white people? And she's like, you're in Utah, honey. And I'm like, okay, because I'm from Merced and now I live in Sacramento. So it is. I see from even just the short visit to her hometown, it is. It's a big just coming to anywhere in California. It's a culture.
You'll see Utah and you'll see Latinos are the minority, and that's about it. It's getting more diverse as time goes on. But
right. Yeah. But
yeah. Anyways. So anyway, that was basically the ceremony. Parents weren't there. And my sister.
How long is it?
It's probably about an hour. And then your family that can't be there waits outside.
Okay.
So after you're done with the ceremony, you go and you take off the weird stuff and you get cute. And then when you come out, you're dressed beautifully and you take photos of you coming out the doors of the temple. And your family celebrates with you. You're actually married in
the temple. You come out and then you do the party with the rest of the people.
And then usually there's a luncheon. So Mormon weddings go ceremony usually in the morning.
Okay.
You come out and take photos out around the temple. Well, you, as soon as you come out, like you kiss in front of everybody and like, yay, celebrate. And then you go to a luncheon. Usually there's a luncheon after the temple ceremony.
Okay.
And then you have a couple hours and then you go to a reception. Now receptions are usually held in like the cultural hall of the church because it's cheap.
So meaning the temple is its own thing and now you're outside of it.
The temple is a temple. Churches are just regular church buildings.
So you don't go
to Sunday services at a temple. The temple's closed on Sunday. The temple is only for like the most sacred ceremonies. And you have to be an endowed member to go in there. regular churches are for the whole family, and that's where services are held.
Okay.
So the temple is separate
from a traditional church. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then after the temple ceremony luncheon, you'll go back to the church usually and have a ceremony. I didn't want a ceremony in a church because I always thought that was tacky. I got married in the summer so that it could be outside. Okay. We used my ex-husband's parents' backyard and it was beautiful. My reception was actually gorgeous, but Mormons don't do a party. It's like you have a receiving line and you invite the whole community and you have to stand in a line for 2 hours while everyone comes and you have to smile and shake everyone's hand. And then after the 2 hours of standing in the line, then you get to cut your cake and then maybe there will be dancing, but then you usually leave. You and your spouse leave and go to your hotel or whatever.
I'm all for the Irish.
So
we get the Irish exit. That's
why I've been so eager to attend non-Mormon weddings because
you've been denied. Well, I'm going to make her my new date.
Excuse you.
Can you take both of us?
Yeah, we'll both go. I am forever Nicole's wedding date for our listeners.
The crazy thing to me is, you know me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm a dancer.
Oh my God.
I didn't dance at my own wedding. It was beautiful.
That's so sad.
I even fought with my mother, but we had discussions about, I told her I was only standing in the receiving line for an hour instead of two.
That's 2 hours.
Crazy.
Usually you stand in the receiving line for 2 hours. But I was like, I'm only standing because I want to mingle with my family. It's my wedding. I want to mingle with my family. I want to like people are coming.
Eat.
Yeah.
Have water.
Yeah, but that's not what it's about. Like Mormon weddings are so like square. They're so like boring. So if I ever get to get married again, I want to do it again because I want to celebrate.
We're doing just a party.
I want to.
Oh my
party.
God.
Yes.
Okay.
If we're on it. So, we got to find the guy first, but
that's touch and go.
Yeah. we're working on it.
You might just need to plan a party and just say,
I know.
Okay.
So that's the my big fat Mormon wedding. There you go.
Okay. Okay, that's awesome.
Go. But it's good. I didn't know any of this until you told me this a while ago, but like, I didn't know, I've never been to, obviously, I'm not Mormon. So I've never been to a Mormon. I've never been invited to a Mormon wedding. I've been to many weddings, but not. I know we go to all kinds of weddings.
Well, we got a barn wedding.
I don't want to say that Mormons never dance at weddings. No, sometimes they do, but by the time
you're done,
your feet must
be dead by the time it's 2 hours.
Right. Well, and you'd have the ceremony and then the luncheon and then the reception, standing in line. And it's like, my husband was itching to get on the road and get to the hotel room.
So he wanted to have some,
because we'd been waiting for so long. Don't know why. Should have just done that a long time before. Anyway.
But so at the end of the day, even though both of you are wanting, and both of you, you and your ex-husband at the time, husband or new husband, you guys are wanting to be, you know, faithful to your Mormon religion. But at the same time, it's both like you said, and just in real time back then, you're like, this is not what I want. Like, this is not, it went against your personality. It went against.
And like, I was so eager to please my community. I always wanted everyone's approval and I wanted to do good by him. And it's just who I grew into through those years of our marriage. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I lost my faith. I was like deeply immersed in school and my job, and I was working two jobs to get myself through school. And he was still a kid, kind of. He didn't really want to go to school. He just had his freedom. He held down a job, but school wasn't his thing. He was not an academic. So we just, we weren't in as much alignment as I thought we were when we were dating as, you know,
kids.
Mm-hmm. So we just, to this day, I feel like he is probably one of the kindest, best people I know, but we weren't meant to be together. And so after those 5 years, I withheld love from him because he wasn't meeting my expectations.
Yeah.
And I was working so much. He eventually ended up cheating, which I mean, of course you shouldn't cheat, but I don't blame him completely because
you weren't there.
I wasn't there.
Guys, neither of you were there.
And none. Yeah, we were kids. Yeah. And it was just
going and you truly,
we apart. Truly grew apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I've communicated with him a couple times over the years and he's got kids now and he's happily married to another girl with my same name.
Jamie.
Yeah.
Jamie 2.0.
Yeah, we call her 2.0.
Oh, that's yeah. Great.
So I'm really genuinely happy for him.
Well, good. I mean, you guys, and you, like, I was super young and my ex thought that once we got married, he needed to be the man. And I was mm-hmm. like, are you kidding me? No, we're just, it's the same. It's just the next day.
Yeah.
It's the day two. We don't need to be the man. Yeah, I don't know what that means. Yeah. And then mm-hmm. his just got, mm-hmm. he got angry and it was abusive. Yeah. Bad.
That's why I feel like I'm very fortunate. Yes. My ex was how he was.
Yeah.
Because he genuinely is like a sweet, kind soul.
Yeah. He just was a kid.
I'm just that now, driven. I'm that driven, hungry for life. And I think he even saw it more than I did. He saw that we wanted different things. He's so loyal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so loyal. Had he not have had the balls to end it, I would have stayed. I probably would have stayed in that marriage forever because mm-hmm. I'm loyal to a fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so in a lot of ways, I'm grateful to him for kind of setting me free.
Mm-hmm. And just letting you spread your wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come to California. Come meet to us. California.
You're welcome.
Yes.
I wouldn't change any of it.
Okay. No. So wait, how old were you when you were like officially divorced?
24.
Oh my God. And that's sometimes people, that's when they're just get married. It's crazy.
Oh my God. My kids are not even thinking about it yet.
Like, right. And I was 22. I just turned 22 when I got married. I think I was officially divorced at 28, 29.
I think when 28. I saved your ass.
Yeah. Our audience knows I moved in. Nicole took me as a feral cat.
My next feral's moving in.
Yep.
In January.
Yep. Feral. You're welcome. I found her for you. Actually, my roommate found her for us.
Oh, God.
My roommate. I'm trying not to use names.
We'll have to start a whole one.
We've got Feral.
That's a whole other podcast. That's a whole nother. We'll have to start it. A spinoff.
Girl talk.
This is what happens, Josh. When you let me have my friends on, we're going to start a whole separate podcast.
But that means she's going to actually have to do something.
So exactly. What was your ceremony like?
We kind of talked about ours.
Tell us.
So I grew up in a very Christian household. And my
just regular,
like
non-denominational,
right. Non-denominational, okay. You know, Sunday school, like church every Sunday.
Play guitar at church.
Yes.
But the first time I went to church with her, I was like, what kind of bullshit is this?
It was,
they have fun.
It's a concert,
They sing
with the whole band.
I might've seen religious.
I love all the non-denominational churches I've attended, even my hometown church in Merced, Yosemite Church, shout out to them. They've been around they're great. And then here at Capitol, I've been to, it's like a concert. I love it. The music is my favorite part. So that's how I grew up. Just very accept everyone. I am very grateful to have grown up in that sort of, and I say this in air quotes, religion. I hate that word. Jamie and I have had many discussions about the word religion and what it means. And that's another podcast. But mm-hmm. So I grew up in the traditional Christian. My sister got married at our hometown church. And then I followed it with getting married in the courthouse.
wait. So I get here today and I'm like, okay, Deb, I'm here. Come let me up. And she's letting me up. And she's like, okay. And so I'm like, okay, so we're going to talk about religion. She's all, yeah. And you know, when I got married, I did it in, you know, at the courthouse in a
red dress.
Red dress.
I did not even wear
what? I didn't know that.
My now ex-husband, when we were engaged then before our, you know, courthouse marriage, we went to Target and I bought a red dress.
Red dress.
I bought
a red dress.
I was just like, so done, not with the Christian religion. It wasn't about that, but I was just like, I want to do what I want to do. What if I don't want to wear a white dress? I literally went to Target and
you've always been like a secret rebel.
Red dress.
Red. Because
it matches her.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think
it wasn't an orange dress.
That I'm 34 now. I can't, I don't know how well I can speak to my 22 year old.
You better wear a mermaid tail next time you
get married. Oh,
it better at least be a mermaid dress. A teal mermaid dress.
I don't know. This is why I'm single.
We gotta go full Ariel.
I can't.
Purple coconut shells and a teal and a teal mermaid skirt.
Yes. I mean, who knows? But so I bought a red dress. I have to say that his family was furious. Now I don't, maybe at me, I don't know, but like, or at our situation, because he is an only child on his like mom's side and family side. And so his mom was not happy that we went to the courthouse. I don't blame her because that's her only kid. Mm-hmm. She went
courthouse was just you two.
The courthouse was me and him and his mom and stepdad and my dad and stepmom and my sister and her husband. So it was immediate family.
Only.
That was it. We went to the courthouse and they were so great about it. When we got there, they were so great about it. They were very like, "So what you guys want?" Okay. So we were very fortunate to, I mean, leading up to it, it was lots of resistance, which I understand now looking back, mm-hmm. but there in the moment, they were very supportive. From there, we went to a very fancy steakhouse in my hometown. We ate there and they were very nice about it.
But it was just
us. That's it.
That was it.
That was it. And we never had a reception. I my friends would text me and say, "Are you, when's the party?" And I would say, "Oh yeah, we're going to have a party." We never did. And so I'm kind of,
how long were you guys married?
We were married for 6.5 years together. Yeah. Together in total for 8. So we were dating for 1.5 years and then we got married. So we were married for 6.5 years. So,
Yeah. My ex and I, with dating and being married, it was 7 years because we started dating when I was a senior in high school and then dated for 1 year after I graduated. We waited for him to graduate high school to get married.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, get this. My ex-husband, when we got married, he was still 20. So I just turned 22. He was 20. We had to wait to go on our honeymoon to when he turned 21 so that we could both drink
alcohol. I had to get a fake ID so that I could drink alcohol in my, oh my God.
Well, I didn't drink alcohol until I was 25. Yeah. And then after that first experience, not again until 27.
Yes. Utah girl. Sorry.
Yeah.
She did not have a good first alcohol experience.
Where were you? Who introduced
It was actually with my, maybe I shouldn't say that. It was with some friends.
That's all she's going to say.
Some of them may still be, Mormon. So,
okay. So it was a group of
a group of friends in Utah. And at 25, when I'd left the church, I was really like, why are we not supposed to do this? Just curious.
Cause
Jamie is a defier like myself.
But I question everything. I have to use the scientific method. I have a hypothesis and then I test it. So
and you tested it with vodka or tequila.
Well, we went to the liquor store. We went to the liquor store and we
was at fucking 5.
Yes. In Utah. And one thing that Utah is smart about, they only sell liquor at state liquor stores. So the state makes some good money off liquor stores.
Oh yeah, but you have a time frame.
California should do that. We're in debt.
Jesus.
Anyway. So anyway, I'm just kidding. I'm not getting political. It's a joke.
No, you're not.
So let me just say that. I know that's a joke. Joking. So we went, me and these friends, I was like, okay, we got to try this, see what to do. So we bought a bunch of random stuff and we looked up.
After wedding or before wedding?
After, years after the wedding.
After marriage?
After
divorce?
Marriage. Yeah, I was still married at the time.
But okay, go ahead. Partaking.
Okay. For the first time.
Okay.
And so we went to the liquor store, bought, if I can remember right, rum, vodka. I think we got like a sampling of a bunch of different things. Oh, and then like some
first mistake,
Mike's lemonade, random stuff. And you mixed a bunch of random all. Stuff. And we looked up recipes online.
Oh God.
And then we just started drinking.
Oh God.
I did some kind of like tropical rum drink,
of course.
And then a mojito,
of course.
And then, a cup, two shots of some kind of vodka nastiness. And then I didn't feel anything. And then all of a sudden
you stood up.
Okay. Well, and then before
and you stood up,
before it's even better than that. It's even better than that. Before it like hit me where I was just like, oh, this is
she
fun.
Felt sick before she felt fucked up. That's the thing.
No, not quite. I started to feel a buzz, which was fun. And so when I was feeling the buzz, I was like, guys, let's go upstairs. I don't know why I had a mini trampoline. Okay.
Oh,
but I had a mini trampoline.
Oh my God.
So like one of those exercise ones.
Okay. So you're at your house.
I'm at my townhouse.
She hosted. You guys move. Okay.
No,
okay,
the only way I was going to try this was I didn't know what was going to happen.
At home
I was semi-responsible.
Okay. That's good.
Semi-responsible.
You have a trampoline.
So I have a mini trampoline for exercise.
And jiggled it all up in your gut.
So I go and I'm like, how cool would it be if I do front flips on my bed?
Oh my God.
Off of the trampoline. So I'm doing.
She's feeling good.
So I'm feeling good. I'm doing front flips off of my mini trampoline onto the bed. And then as soon as we came back downstairs from playing on the trampoline, I sat down and I said, guys, I don't feel good. And
you think.
Okay, wait. It gets more embarrassing.
Oh.
So I go running to the bathroom.
Yes.
And before I could make it to the door, yes, I projectile vomited in front of all my friends, all over the bathroom door and all over the bathroom. And I have to tell you I have to tell you.
Cleaning it up as you were.
No, I wasn't going to clean that shit up. So I got to tell you how kind of a human my ex-husband was, because he not only cleaned up my puke, but took care of me.
Aww.
So he was a good person.
Aww. Like, was he drinking with you?
Yeah, but he didn't. He's tall. He's like 6'2". So
I thought this was just a girl time. This was a whole,
no,
we're going to all experience.
Oh, I just gave
together.
It away who was with me. But yes, my ex-husband,
whatever.
Yeah.
Right. It was boys and girls.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was mortified. So I went upstairs and I remember like getting in the bathtub with all my clothes on, just turning the shower on and like laying down and like the spins.
Oh, is that the spins? Did you put your leg outside of the?
Yes, the spins.
That's all
the spins are a fucking thing.
Put your foot on the ground.
And the next day,
can't get rid of the spins.
The next day, the hangover was so bad that I was like, I literally remember saying this, like in my mind. No, I remember saying, I get it, God. Like, I understand why we're not supposed to do that.
Oh, no. You're not supposed to do that much and jump on a trampoline and do flips because that's
you
stupid.
You did too much too fast.
I know. But I didn't. No one was there to teach me. So that's the problem with a lot of Mormons. You're so sheltered. Like,
when
no one teaches you how to drink safely
in moderation.
Moderation.
How many shots of caffeine did you do when you finally got caffeine? Were you?
I got jittery a few times.
Did you not sleep?
I got jittery a few times, okay? But I think I did coffee more responsibly because that was a couple years later.
Oh my God, you did alcohol first?
Yeah.
I love it.
I did alcohol before caffeine.
You are my Sagittarius.
I did alcohol before first. Caffeine. I hadn't even thought about that. Yes, I did alcohol before caffeine. And
I'm so glad this is out here in the world forever.
It's good stories.
No, it's good.
The next time I had a drink, it was like 2 years later, mm-hmm, at dinner with my ex now, but yes, my who was the next relationship, whatever. Anyway, we went to dinner and I was like, okay, I just want to try a sangria. Let me just see. It sounds nice. And I just had one drink.
The word sounds pretty.
I had one sangria.
Sounds fancy. Oh God. Oh,
and geez. I got so giggly and talkative and it was so fun. I was like, this is how you're supposed to do it with food,
not
and water,
with a fucking trampoline
and one alcohol.
But
not
I do
10 alcohols.
I know.
Different alcohols.
One, and I'm still a lightweight, but I do have to say, I still like mixing alcohol and trampolines because of the staff party last year.
Oh,
do you remember?
Yes.
Our work party, we went, it was at someone's house and they had a trampoline and I had a for couple white claws. And then I was like doing backflips on the trampoline,
but
I didn't get sick that time.
But here's the difference. She just had a couple white claws.
Yeah. She
versus
hard alcohol.
Shots of rum, shots of tequila, shots of vodka, a margarita. So like
yeah,
we just did the alcohol more responsibly.
It was awful.
Yes.
And
the moderation.
Another reason why it took me years to try it again is because I hate puking. I'm the person that gets the flu and I will hold still and like not move until it comes out the other end
Yeah.
rather than puke.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Mine will not. Like,
sorry, Josh, we talk about
puking,
shitting, all of it. It's all here.
Well, I'm sorry. This is just me.
This is great.
This is just me.
I'm getting a call from a person.
Oh, which person?
Person I was telling you about.
This is gonna be our part two. We're gonna talk. We're gonna talk about online dating in the part two with the three of us.
Yes, because I will not partake anymore. But these two beautiful women we've done online are still.
Well, she might one day. We'll see.
We'll talk. Anyway, so that's another
thing. did we cover all three? Did we cover all three marriage stories?
I think so. I don't know.
Will you ever get married again?
I would. Because now I've done long-term relationship without marriage and marriage. So I think I have a good understanding of both.
Mm-hmm. And you know what
and
you here's, want.
And I know what I want. It's shitty if it ends either way. So
but you know what your expectations
and
are.
I've and I've raised, to do it. Mm-hmm. I've raised my expectations. Mm-hmm. I would rather be single than be with someone who isn't in alignment with me anymore.
Okay. I am listening to this book. I know it's so stupid.
She got very excited.
I know. I wanted to say this to you guys. So I'm listening to this book. And I'll tell you guys about it later. It's not good, but it's a good book.
It's
but
not
she,
good for this
no,
book.
It's a good book, but I don't want to, it's not. Okay. So there was one part of it that said that good and bad come hand in hand. You get good shit, you get bad shit, comes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And you just need to wait till the good shit's hand is ready for you to receive it. And I was like, ooh, I fucking love that.
That's true. That's 50% of life is going to be challenging. 50% is
but you need to get that good and you need to hold on to it and you need to go with it. So do you want to get married again?
Okay. To be honest, I am terrified to get married again. Well, and I'm a lone wolf. I like being alone. You both know this.
Yes. It drives us crazy.
They both. Okay. Yeah. I love being alone.
No, I get
it.
I need
my space, and I'm just like if you come in my space, let's just say this. If I do get married again one day, then I like really like this person in my space, and they make me a better person. I want to rise up to them too. Nicole has some words of wisdom. You gotta say our words of wisdom. Yeah, but it's going to be. Like a big, big deal if I ever get married again.
Yeah. I teach these girls all the time.
I know for you too, Jane. I know for you too. But it's just, I'm more terrified. I think Jamie's a little more brave about it. I think.
I don't know about that.
No, she's not. I'm proud of you.
I'm not more brave
about it. Because you're seeing it. You're seeing it now and you're addressing it and you're ending it before it gets there. So I'm proud of you with that.
Yeah. I've definitely raised the bar. I think I used to be more afraid of being alone than I was afraid of having a relationship not work out.
Yes.
Now I am getting so much more comfortable in my independence that I am terrified of bringing someone in and I'm terrified of getting hurt again because when I give to a relationship, I give it 100%. All of myself.
Yeah.
So for me, I would get married again. Mm-hmm. I would.
Oh yes. Because I need babies. I need some grandbabies.
I do too. I need some
babies. Nieces and nephews.
Well, and here's the thing, like, the kid question, that's a whole nother podcast, guys.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
But where I'm at right now with that, since you brought it up, I have decided that's a decision I will make with the person if ever I find my person.
Yeah.
But right now, my focus is on like being present, living moment to moment, enjoying my life as much as I can, and not settling is such a like stereotypical thing to say, blah, blah, blah. But it's more about finding someone in alignment with me rather than like not settling. It's more of, I've met so many guys who are great people, but they're not the right fit for me. Right. And I think it's taken me a really long time to accept that like dating is not rejection.
No.
Dating is like my one of my girlfriends, I have to give her credit because she's the one that like said this, but she said, you're basically going and meeting people, you're tapping on the shoulder and you're saying, are you my person? No, cool. I wish you the best. Yeah. Like it doesn't have to be so personal. It doesn't have to be so rejection based. We're literally just looking for someone who's in alignment with us. And it's going to be work no matter who it is.
Oh, putting a friendship, every single thing in your world is work. Yeah. But you have to find that person that you want to work with.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's why I'm trying to teach you guys. You got to find somebody that's going to make you better.
Yes.
You're going to find somebody that you want to be better with. You want to find somebody that will be a partner with you, not somebody that you're fucking fixing or making a better person or doing what you want. No. You got to join together
and really seeing them clearly and not projecting on them what you want them to be.
Yes. With, but
really
what
seeing
they are,
who they are.
And can you be a partner with them?
Yeah.
Because if you're going to make them something, men don't change.
Well, neither do women, really.
But I'm saying as women, when we're trying to find fucking men, they don't change. They are who they are. And
so you might
that
as well
person
find, you need to find
mesh with you or not.
And then can you do the work to grow together?
Yes.
So for me, it's about initially finding someone that like I'm in alignment with and then working together. So I am a romantic at heart. The idea of a wedding and a party and like,
oh, I'm down.
And having a family.
Down to attend.
And having a family.
I'm going to plan it and I can't wait for grandbabies.
Okay. Well, don't get ahead of yourself because we're being realistic here, but
yes, it takes time. I know I'm being patient.
Well, like I want all of those things, the family, babies, the husband, but I also have for the first time in my life recognized that my life without a man in it is still freaking badass.
Thank you.
Yes.
Finally.
Thank you.
Finally. It is taking you so long to say those words and I'm so proud of you.
I know. It's true.
Because Jamie was all about being somebody something and now she is her own individual.
I'm my own something.
Human that loves herself and you can look in the mirror and say, I love you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's taken a long time.
I know.
Well, because
so
I found my
there.
Purpose. I found my purpose from being someone else's something.
Yes. Yeah. That you're your own something.
Yeah. But I'm doing a lot.
You are.
Yeah. I love my job.
You are.
I have
you're
lots
amazing.
Of friends.
Yes. Yeah. Me.
You
I'm
are.
I'm not aboard with you.
For the record, these ladies are amazing too.
I know.
I know this has turned into it about Jamie. But
so, it amazing. Took so much for you to say those words, and I'm proud of you. You have come so far.
3 years
when
of
I met
hard
you,
work.
You are not there. I want to stab you. And I'm like, dude, you gotta fucking
Nicole
fix this.
Stab me in the throat like the last podcast.
Yes. Nicole has talked about stabbing people in the throat.
Jamie was touch and go. I'm so proud of you. That's so good. You are.
Yeah,
you bitch. I don't know. You're a hot mess.
I don't know. I'm always.
I just gotta watch
your
day by day.
And watch your day.
I'm a moment by moment all the time.
No, okay, you are all moment by moment.
Okay, you guys are good.
So, Nicole, Jamie's answered. I've answered. So, Nicole, would you ever get married?
Fuck no. Absolutely not. No.
Guess what? I have a feeling since she just said that she's gonna be the first one to get married.
No, probably. I can't. Probably. I know. My divorce was so bad. So bad. So bad. I was the typical dude in the relationship. I had the job. I had everything and he didn't. And he took me for everything I had. I had to pay him out, buy him out. It was awful.
Well,
financially,
if you did
terrible.
It again, though, prenup, yo.
Yeah. No, true. But
actually,
I mean, I just
bringing that up though, I think even though I don't have a lot of assets and money, I'm
but
a freaking teacher,
matter.
But I think I would do a prenup.
Yes. Yeah. Your stuff was your stuff. But see, I can give it when we were together, we grew it together, but I, like you, am driven and driven and driven. So I always wanted more. I started my own business. I did all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, this bitch is going to make all the money. I don't have to work. Oh, this girl's going to, she's going to do, she's going to take care of the kids. She's going to raise the house. She's going to, I didn't have to do anything. So he just kept not doing anything. And then by the end, I was like, what the hell? We're supposed to be partners. So to sign that piece of paper, it has to be the absolute perfect human.
Right. So
that can make me
what
better.
I
which,
just heard is that you are in the same boat as us in that. No, seriously. In that it's gotta be someone that is aligns with
that
us
can make
and
me
is
better.
Amazing. Yes. And I think that it's a calculated risk. I've said more recently, I guess, that love is a calculated risk. And
it is. And you just have to, that's why I've been single. I mean, oh my God, I haven't dated in freaking 5 years.
I know.
Years.
I think I think that here's the difference, like between the three of us.
Yeah.
I think of the three of us, I am the most like hopeful about like finding somebody.
Yes. Yeah.
and actively trying to find someone for that purpose.
Yes.
And I think you're the one that, like, you're looking, but you refuse to put any kind of a label on anything. It's your moment to moment.
Jamie's talking about me.
Yeah. Sorry, Deb. Deb. So Deb's more like, live in the moment. She'll meet who she meets. She'll live her life as she goes. And like, she, like, if she does meet a guy, it's like, we'll see tomorrow. We'll see the next day. We'll see. And I'm like, could this be my husband? so like, our mentality is different. And Nicole is just at the point where she's like, nobody will ever live up to my standards. I'm not even looking.
Yeah.
But
fuck off.
Don't talk to me. That's what she's love my life. I love my freedom. I have my shit and leave me alone.
But just like you said with us, if you found someone who made you better, she doesn't say this, but she's a romantic at heart too.
Yeah.
Which is why she pushes it with us so much. Yes. And like, but I think if you found someone that, but you're not going to look.
No, you're just absolutely. Like, it's okay. I will not put forth.
He's going to have to stumble into log off one day.
watch Kendall bring him in.
Shut up.
He'll stumble into log off one day.
Oh, no. It'll be our local brewery. Log
yes, off. That's our local watering hole.
Yes,
but no, I am such an old creature of habit that I just, it would have to be absolutely perfect. So,
right.
And that's not real. And I'm okay with that. That's why I love you. Well, and
you're more focused on like living. You've been a good friend to have because you genuinely are someone who practices what you preach to us, which is like, enjoy your life, live in the moment,
make you happy.
Yeah.
You,
nobody else is going to do
and that priest said, you have one shot at this. You have one time on this planet. No matter what your afterlife is, right now, you have you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You do what makes you happy. You do what makes you happy in this moment.
Yeah.
You love you. You love your life. And it is about you.
Yeah.
And whatever happens beyond that is just happens. But you have to love you first. And absolutely. I was like, holy shit. Yeah. That's fucking deep.
Right? It is. Well, and it's hard to do.
When I left there, I called my grandma who lives across the street. I'm coming over. We're drinking wine. Oh my God. I have never felt so clean. Mm-hmm. I was like, I felt like
weight God has touched. Been lifted off
I felt like God touched my heart. And in that moment, I was like, I have never felt so holy shit. This is like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. I can deal with my family. I can deal with the shit that just happened to me. And you know what? Fuck everybody else. It's all about me right now. And I've been that way since then. And it's been what, 5-6 years.
Well, and you still live an abundant life. You have friends. It's not a fuck off. I'm going to live in my hole and not think about anybody else.
But this is another thing about Nicole though, is like that same image, it sound like it's all about you, like selfish, but she is one of the most giving.
Because she deals with us.
No, she's one of the most giving, kind people. Like if you ever hang out with Nicole, she notices people. She'll be the person that's like comforting someone in the bathroom that's having a hard day. Or she just notices people, the waiters at the restaurant. Yeah. Oh, he's working so hard. Did you notice? No, I wasn't even looking at the fucking waiter. We have to give him a tip. Did you notice how hard he's working? Like she's that person. So yes, she focuses on herself and loves herself up, which enables her to notice other people. So
it's the whole concept of if your cup is full,
it pours over into others.
And my cup is beyond full. So it's all
Jeez, she has this in her Christian life. Podcast. I okay. I think I'm the only like non-Christian.
you have some spirituality.
But I'm very spiritual. I think that's all religion. And
Jesus set a good example.
Be a good human.
Yeah.
Just be nice.
Do unto you as you want others or whatever.
It's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them
whatever
to you.
I went to Catholic school for 8 years and didn't feel good there, but no, it is if you do like that guy. I know I made his day. I put $10 in his pocket and I said, you're badass. You are working your ass off. All these other fuckers are just sitting here and look at you. You're working and I'm proud of you. You keep doing you.
I think
he was awesome.
Why do you think I always say I have my Jesus time every moment? I have to talk
every moment.
Every morning.
I gotta talk to Jesus.
Got my Jesus time.
Well, and I call it my self-love time, but yeah, I do the same thing. Yeah. And I think it's important to have like a spiritual practice or a centering practice or a meditation practice or whatever.
You just have to have a moment of just
connecting with yourself.
Breathing.
So whether it's like, so I kind of believe that like whatever the soul is within me is connected to the soul in everybody else or whatever. I think about it. I like to say it's like the Force in Star Wars. So like I know it's a good way to think about it though, because it's a power that exists within all of us.
Okay.
And we can tap into it because it's within us. Okay. And then it's also all around us. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. So like I can tap into that and I can sense it in others. And that's what God is to me.
Oh no, I agree. Good. I agree. Yeah. I 100%. I don't think he's the Force of
Star Wars,
but you know.
Well, I just said it's like that, like the way it's portrayed.
I get
it's for me, it's not a man in the sky.
No, no. Right. It's in your heart.
It's like
I truly even the what I was raised to believe in the Christianity, you know, household is that Jesus speaks through people.
Oh, 100%.
And like you learn lessons that way. So
you learn from babies all the way to old people. My grandma, that crazy bitch, I love her with my whole heart. She is 86 years old and a spitfire, and she will sit me down and she will tell me how it is, and she'll tell me how it was, and she'll tell me how it's supposed to be. And I just, and that's,
I think that's
Who you about. Learn how to be a good person through. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. I think so. I think this has been awesome episode.
We solved all the world's problems on love and marriage and religion. You're welcome.
I don't know why, but I feel like Christine, you will appreciate this episode. I know you're listening to this. It's my friend from college.
Okay.
Hi, Christine.
I've
met her.
Wait, is she show up at Lava?
Doesn't she have a baby?
Krista. Oh, that was Krista.
Doesn't Christine have a baby?
Christine has two. Christine,
yeah, I've met one of Christine's babies.
You met Christine. She's the one. I have her Twilight books. If you've listened to the episode of the Twilight books.
Oh, by the way, we are not on Twilight books. We are not on Harry Potter.
We are on cookies.
We are on cookies.
My laptop is sitting on
the cookie
platter.
She's making it so that we can't eat them. But the platter of cookies sharing is not caring with this group.
Okay, well we're gonna eat some right now. I think we need to have a part two sometime soon.
Hey,
of this.
Sure. Oh my God! Yes,
I can talk Friday.
She has a fun date. We need to
have
a date.
Okay, we're gonna have a part two because we got to get into the dating. We got to get into the dating apps. Josh, sorry, you're not invited to this.
No, absolutely.
So
not.
It's gonna be we got to have a part
two. Talk.
Yes. Well, this is called the Connectable Podcast, and dating's all about connecting. Isn't it? Did I sound like a news person?
No.
Or like a radio voice?
No.
She did.
No.
A little bit.
You tried.
A little bit.
It was
a podcast voice though.
Not really.
Okay. Before we end this, because this can go into a million different directions.
Oh, yeah. We can go
when there's three of us. Do you guys have any? I mean, I kind of briefly gave you a heads up before we hit record. Do you have any connection suggestions? Or I mean, I always have Crumble Cookie
at logoff.com because those are my homies.
What is their Instagram? Just at logoff.
At logoff brewing. I don't know.
We need to have them on.
Well, I'm sure if you looked up at logoff, you'd find them. They're in Rancho Cordova.
LOGOFF.
Okay. Yes.
Do you have one, Jamers? Not to put you on the spot. It's tough.
Is it supposed to be like businesses?
Anything.
Businesses,
in the world.
People.
I support Dutch Bros.
That's for caffeine.
And honestly, they're, you know how they encourage their customer service to be like super, like ask you how you're doing, like very personable. I used to be bothered by it, but now I really, really like when I'm like not all the way awake and they're like, how's your day going? I'm like, oh, it's good. I'm good.
That's sweet. What's so fun is going through the line and seeing my daughter's, I think she was 6 years old, best friend in elementary school, who's like, Nicole? I'm all, Bella? And they talk to you. They are amazing people.
So the customer service at Dutch Bros gets going.
We have not had a Dutch Bros connection suggestion.
So I really like their customer service. It beats Starbucks for me. Like,
oh no, they're just genuine.
I like the way that they are treating their employees.
And they have to know everything. I mean, Jess's roommate went through the training and it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a full thing. Like, it's not just a.
And the other connectable thing or that I would, what is it?
Connection suggestion.
Oh,
you're pretty.
I am pretty.
I know.
I have to slow down as I say it too. So I get it.
Yes.
I have
connection suggestion. Okay. Is I started this year at a new high school. It's called West Park High School. It's brand new in Roseville. And
it's beautiful, by the way.
It looks like a JC. Like, we're so lucky to have such an amazing facility. But on top of that, the way that the school is being run and the community is pulling together and everyone is so inclusive and kind and supportive. Like, I'm so impressed, because creating school culture can be such a challenging thing, especially in a new place, in a new community. And I feel like they really are putting people first, and it's been a really cool place to work. And,
nice.
Yeah. Like, even the parents, my booster parents, and like, I don't know. Nice. So I'm loving the community.
That's good.
Yeah.
So shout out to West Park and Roseville.
Sweet. Awesome.
Yeah. It's Log Off Brewery.
Log Off Brewery.
So we have our coffee, we have our alcohol, we have our school.
We got coffee, alcohol, and school.
We got it all.
Yeah. Okay, sweet. And then you guys can follow. Do you guys want to share your personal socials?
Nicole? Poor Josh.
I'll tag both of you in this.
You can put mine, but it's private, so you have to request to follow me, but you know.
Okay, you got
it. Message me first.
Okay. Shoot me a DM
and we'll see if I'll able.
Well, we'll be back. I'll have these gals back. Josh, I know you've loved listening to this. So let me see if I can get this right. You guys can follow us on Instagram at Connectable Podcast. We're on Twitter at Connectable Pod, Facebook, and YouTube, but this isn't going to be on YouTube. I've requested that it's not, just because these girls, we're at my apartment and it's a mess, and this video
and
is
we're
not.
We're in and out of the screen.
Yeah, so that. It's just going to be audio only. So I think I said that correctly. I'm not sure. Any last parting words, ladies? We'll see.
Moment to moment, baby.
Thanks for finally including me. I had a dream. I'm just going to one last thing.
Okay, go ahead.
I had a dream a couple of years ago. How long have you been doing podcasts?
Oh my God. For like almost 3 years now, I think.
Okay. So like probably a year and a half or 2 years ago, I had a dream that I was so mad at Deb because this isn't how I really feel. It was a dream. So give me a little bit of break.
Okay.
I was so mad at her because she asked everyone to be on her podcast but me. And I was like, rude. Everyone gets to be on the podcast but me. And I remember waking up feeling like upset. Like, why doesn't she want me on her podcast?
Because we don't like you.
You can't sit with us.
She's ashamed of me. Anyway, so I finally made it on the podcast.
Yes,
awesome.
So I guess thank you.
Yes. You're welcome. We're gonna
my dreams came true.
Well, we're gonna have a part two. I know. God,
yes, right? Next one will be even better.
This is gonna be a part two. We're gonna have a part two. We are. Right. So because we got lovely. It. We didn't even get into all
the no,
stuff.
We just did. This is the
yeah.
It was
this
a lot.
Is the start.
This is the tip of the iceberg, people.
We can talk a lot. That's
I know.
Good.
Yeah.
And this is every moment we're together.
Yeah.
I want everyone to know listening that this is a normal conversation.
We started this at like 2 hours ago and she's like, oh, we should be recording.
I was like, I literally had to tell them, stop talking. I need to hit record because we start, this is just a normal thing with us. So these gals will be back and we'll do a part two. We'll get into other things. If Josh permits
allows
it,
because love he you,
does,
Josh,
because he does the.
Thanks for having us. I'll meet you one day, Josh.
I know. Yeah.
All right, girls. So I think that's it. So
good night.
Okay.
Peace out.
Peace, love, and I don't know.
Wine, peace, love, and wine.
I think.